Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is stand-up comedian, storyteller, actress, singer, and all-around entertainer. Sandra Bernhard has been a mainstay in showbiz, entertaining us for years on stage and screen. It's been a couple years since she's been back in Chicago, but she is at the City Winery tomorrow night with her one-woman show, Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast. The show is a hybrid of new materials, songs, and stories. Bernhard is truly one of the greats, and she hosts the show Sandyland on Sirius XM, and she is in studio with me tonight. Sandra Bernhard, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Thank you. So it's great to be back in Chicago.
Tell us about the show. I mean, this is a new show for you. I mean, it's something that you've been working on, but you've played it already in New York, L.A., places like that.
I put new shows together every year at Joe's Pub over the holidays because it's sort of my traditional, showcase and launch for new material. And then when I go out on the road, it's usually a hybrid of material I've been doing for, two shows from Joe's Pub because I don't really go out on the road as much as most people. So it's not like I'm doing it, day after day and wearing it out. But it's always very fresh and kind of a reflection of, how I'm observing the world at the time. And it's, personal, anecdotal. The music's all woven in. Here in Chicago, I use, great local musicians that comprise the Sandyland Squad band. And I like to think that I keep everybody on their toes, including myself. And it's an evening of glamour, fun, upbeat, and purposefully right now staying away from most things political because I don't think that it's really uplifting or interesting to come to a live show and see somebody talking about what you hear about 24 hours a day. And the news cycle changes so quickly, and the level is so low that I want to reflect something, it's just more indicative of what I enjoy going to see and what I listen to and what I'm about.
Is it hard for you to take politics out of a show like this? I mean, you want to do stories, uplifting stories, stay away from things that might be polarizing. But for you, who's been an entertainer, who says it like it is, that's been your MO for decades, is it hard to say, I'm not going to talk about politics in a stage show?
Well, my work is inherently political. Everything that I do, everything that I reflect and stand for is infused with politics without being didactic about it. So I never feel like I'm ignoring it. It's just I approach it from a different angle than a lot of people who break it down. A Bill Maher, that's what he does, and many other people are really good at writing political jokes. And that's just – I don't really tell jokes. And so just to talk about it and say, well, address the obvious, really. We're in dire straits. It's a very stressful time for people. And we don't really know how it's all going to shake down or resolve. I mean, history will, like history always does, will find its way in and out of, crises. But this is one that, it's particularly concerning for all sentient people everywhere.
For you, how has your show evolved? I think about you've had the off-Broadway shows and you've had tremendous success doing one-woman shows throughout your career, even making that transition from stand-up to the stage. How has it evolved? What's a Sandra Bernhard show like in 2017 that might be different than even 10 years ago?
Well, I think I'm more open to whimsy and fun and spontaneity in a way that, I maybe wasn't 10 years ago. I think my work just keeps getting, broader and wider and more, unexpected even for myself. And when I'm in the groove, I feel like I'm taking people places that I want to go to.
Yeah. Do you find yourself pushing limits? You have been a provocateur and a great entertainer for so long that do you have to push yourself into different areas because you've had such success?
I don't think I push myself. I don't ever push myself. I think things just flow naturally. And doing my radio show every day on Sirius XM Sandyland has been a great sort of lab and experimental place for me to develop material without trying. And, there's something about getting into your groove every day and having a platform that's not pressurized or stressful allows you to evolve as a performer.
And also, I mean, the idea of doing it every day, the discipline of having a job where you have to go in and perform every single day for you as a performer, how has that changed your outlook on the craft?
Well, it's been great. I mean, at first I sort of resisted it and I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And then the producers that I had at Sirius were like, just, you know, just trust it and talk about what you're comfortable talking about and don't worry about it. And then like the month in or 2 months in, I was like, oh, now I'm getting the hang of this. And now 2 years into it, I'm really getting the hang of it. And it feels like second nature and my second skin, and I'm really enjoying it.
What's a preparation like for a show like that? For you to come in?
None. I mean, my producers, you know, we have segments we do, yeah. And then, you know, I curate the music. I'm just being silly. Of course, there's preparation.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, it's really honing, you know, the day-to-day sort of almost, you know, the trivia into something that's compelling and weaving a narrative for the audience where they get to know you. And I think that's the groove that I got into.
Yeah, for you, you've been so... you're so attractive in the way that you tell your stories. You tell a story and it just feels like it's you're at the dinner table with somebody and you're able to tell and entertain.
I try.
But I ask the same question about your telling stories. How much preparation goes into crafting those stories, making them right, and how much of them are just the God-given talents of you being able to shoot off the hip?
Well, they're better when I shoot off the hip. And you know, of course, the important elements of them are there because most of them have either happened or I imagined them. So... It's listening to your mind and allowing all that information to flow, and then you sort of, like poetry, you create all the flourishes around it.
Sandra Bernhardt's in studio with me tonight. She's, of course, the comedian, storyteller, actress, singer. Her show, Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast, is on stage at the City Winery tomorrow night. Her show, Sandyland, on XM Sirius every day around noon, right?
In Chicago, yeah. It's 11 to 12.
11 to 12, Sirius XM here. Sandra Bernhardt, my guest tonight at the big table. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Sandra Bernhardt's my guest in studio tonight. She, of course, the longtime great comedian, storyteller.
The longtime lover of O.J. Simpson. No, I'm just kidding.
Her show, Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast at City Winery in the West Loop tomorrow night. She's in town, first time in a couple of years, but you're always in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, last time I was here, I was in Skokie at some performing arts center where I completely went off book and improvised the entire show and had such a great time. So if anybody was at that show, whatever they see tomorrow night will not be what I did at Skokie. That's the good news.
How often do you go off book like that? Where you decide, I
can't. It's just it happens. You know, you just really literally have to be like in some sort of altered state, and I don't mean because of, you know, something exterior, but just something, you know, interior, mm-hmm. that just allows you to flow.
Today I went down the rabbit hole and I watched a ton of videos of you with Letterman and stand up from the 80s, and I'm interested in how. What you do now and the ability to have the confidence to go in front of a large audience in Skokie and say, you know, I'm going to shoot from the hip. I'm going to go improv on this.
Well, I don't think about it. It's not. I mean, it wasn't like I thought, oh, I'm going to improv. You can never think that because you can't. Either you have your show and you know you can fall back on it, or it just all the
just goes.
Everything comes together in the universe and the heavens open and you're channeling something and you don't even know how you're doing it. So until you're on stage. That is not something you think, oh, tonight I'm going to do that.
But the beauty of watching you on late night television or other places is just it was vibrant, electric television.
Your
chemistry with Dave Letterman was tremendous and so many guest spots that you're on the show. But what I want to get at is how, when you were a young comedian, how much did you rely on just your wit and how much did you have to be in the clubs like other stand-ups in the late 70s and 80s where you were working on material and continuing to work on your craft in front of audiences?
Oh, I was doing it every night, almost every night of the week. When I was, you know, I started performing when I was 19, and as soon as I got my foot in the door, you know, I was out every night, often sitting in clubs like the Improv and other, you know, crazy venues around L.A., sometimes I'd wait till 1 in the morning before I'd get to go on, and sometimes the people were drunk and there was 10 people left, and you know, but then things got a little more scheduled as the years went on. But those first years were like just staying up, waiting to my spot, no matter what the situation was, going on and being a professional and giving it my all.
There's so many stand-ups from that time that will talk about that time as the glory days of their careers, the early days where they get on, even, you know, watching shows that are based on stand-up comedy now. Do you think favorably upon those years as an entertainer? You look back to the days of waiting till 1 o'clock to get on stage and what was happening?
Well, I mean, it wasn't fun at the time. I mean, you know, it wasn't easy being a woman in 1976, 77, on, you know, waiting around kind of by yourself late at night. I mean, I had some great friends, my friend Paul Mooney and my friend Lotus Weinstock, who were like my two angels who discovered me. And, you know, when they were there, I felt safe. But when they weren't there, I mean, it was sort of like I was just sitting and waiting. Then, you know, you get in your car, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, drive home by yourself. I mean, you know, yeah. It's not something I would wish for somebody I loved. But that was a different time. It was a less threatening time. And, you know, without it, I wouldn't be who I am today, for sure.
I think about, I mean, I would assume that stand-up comedians still have to go through the same things you were talking about, waiting to get on stage and being in unsafe spaces and things, especially women who are in stand-up. We hear about it every, it seems like every other month and something happening in stand-up. Do you think that it's an improved experience for young comedians who were starting out than when you did back in 1977?
This is very different. First of all, you know, there's so many women who are incredibly successful now in the past 10 years. It's really broken out more than that. And I think that with the advent of social media and people being able to, like, put their little, you know, shows on YouTube and, you know, whatever, all the other outlets, I think it's definitely made it easier and opened doors quicker. But, I mean, without getting up in front of a live audience every night, you can never know if you're going to be successful in the terms of the long game.
Making that transition to entertainment, to television, you know, and having the opportunity to do stand-up on television, to do the late-night talk shows, to end up being on Roseanne and talk and just becoming a star. Talk about that experience. As we talked about the stand-up scene, was that a different kind of process of starting and experimenting, trying things to get into the entertainment industry than any different than what you just talked about with stand-up?
Well, a lot of things happened by chance for me back in the day. You know, I mean, I ended up on the Richard Pryor show because of Paul Mooney, because he was the head writer, and he just put a lot of people he knew, young people, with Pryor, and Pryor loved that. And I just did a lot of crazy things, you know, that were, you know, from the $1.98 beauty contest to, like, all the things of the day. And then when I had my opportunity to audition for the King of Comedy, I mean, you know, that was just a huge long shot, and I just happened to be the person that fit the bill, and that was, of course, a game changer for me. And then after that, I never had, you know, people were always asking, what's your five-year plan? And I never had a five-year. I still don't have a five-year plan. I mean, I guess I'm a little more focused now because I want to accomplish certain things so that I don't have to keep working as hard as I do. But I think that as a natural artist, as somebody who, you know, relies on their spontaneity, you can't really think of it like that. You can do your projects. I mean, I have two scripted projects right now, but they're with producers. But then you have to find writers, and then and you have to go through the whole process. And often they don't pan out. As many of the things I've tried to get done have not worked out. I'm hoping at least one of these two projects see the light of day. But I don't think that. I'm just not that kind of person who thought I'm just gonna, you know.
You have a plan. I have a long-term plan.
Well, not just. I don't know. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah,
I like my freewheeling, you know, life.
And it came across on screen, and it always has. And, you know, watching the clips today, I mean, there is a freewheeling spontaneity to it, and I think that's why it works, because it's not. Where'd you go on vacation, Sandra? And then, you know, and then you start your joke. There is this repertoire, and even as you move on and stuff with Madonna, you could tell that it's less and less scripted and more off the cuff. Having a career where you're not making a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, I would assume that there's a lot that's just kind of you go with it. But I would assume there's a lot of ups and downs. Why we have a lot of celebrities who come on and we talk about just. People don't recognize the amount of rejection that goes into a career in showbiz. As I think of Sandra Bernhardt, I think you're on top of the world. You know, you're a legend in your field. But I would assume, as you just mentioned, just trying to get projects to go is difficult.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, you know, most often now you have to audition for roles in TV shows and films. And often I don't get them. And I'm always like, the only time I usually get something is if somebody wants me in their show. You know, like Two Broke Girls, or, you know, Will and Grace, or, right. You know, the latest thing I did was just a small thing on Broad City, but I ran into the girls at a party and they wrote a little part for me. So,
well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
For you,
you know,
right?
I feel like I should be, like, on a TV show on a regular basis. But I guess that'll happen or it won't happen. I don't know. I just keep trucking along, and I don't know. It's just like I can't worry about it. Well, sure, I think about it, but I mean, there's days when it's frustrating, but most days I just go, well, I like my life anyway, and you know, I'm not suffering, and I still make money, and I'm doing what I want to do, and I still have the respect of my peers, and hopefully the people who have always enjoyed me continue to enjoy me, and that's the only way you can really look at it and be happy in life.
Sandra Bernhardt's my guest tonight at the big table. She's got a show, Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast. It's songs, stories, new material that should be on stage at the City Winery in the West Loop over on Randolph Street tomorrow night. She's also got the show Sandyland. She does daily on Sirius XM, 11 o'clock here in Chicago. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Sandra Bernhardt in studio at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio tonight, the great Sandra Bernhardt, who is on stage.
Who's sipping from a very long orange straw, which is very bizarre. It actually has a very chic hot pink stripe in it.
That's how straws is. That's a Chicago straw right there. That's a standard.
What I've decided, I go to so many shows and they keep giving you water bottles. And I keep saying, why do I want to like just keep polluting? So I found this chic recyclable water cup at the gym at my hotel. So I took it up to my room and I've brought my own water.
It's a smart move. Here in the Tribune Tower, this is an old, old building. And
I know.
And we have
I hear it's going to become a condo building.
But downstairs, there's just a bathroom. There's no water cooler. There's nothing. So I will fill up a jug for the show. I'll put it in there. And halfway through, I'm like, I'm going to get lead. There's going to be lead in this water. This is just old water. I just feel so. I applaud you.
Sometimes you have to just go for it.
Go.
You know,
I don't think that is life advice
from you. A little light brain damage at this point, will it really matter? Seems like the president has light brain damage, and nobody seems to be bothered by it.
Yeah. Sandra Bernhardt's my guest. She's going to be at City Winery tomorrow night. Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast.
It's a mouthful,
new show.
I know.
Stories, songs,
the new
material.
The new show this year that I'll be doing will be called Sandemonium.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know how many more times I can put my name into the title of a show, but I found one more, and then I'm going to have to go back to like other kinds of titles.
I was thinking about this today, you know, because you do songs and you do stories, and you have to constantly be at Joe's, I'm assuming, because you have a loyal following that comes out. You have to constantly come up with new material.
Right.
That's the idea. And I think about musicians. If you were a musician, if Sandra Bernhardt was a musician.
I just keep playing the old hits. Play
the hits. Is that,
go your own way, which I heard in some sort of a pharmaceutical ad last night. I guess, was it for plaque psoriasis? I was like, has Fleetwood Mac become that desperate?
Yes.
Why not?
It is an interesting dichotomy that, you know, musicians, people be mad if they don't play Go Your Own
right,
Way.
Right, exactly.
But with you, I mean, they'd be mad if they hear the same joke again.
You know, they never do, though. Actually, I do pull some of my musical numbers out, like Me and Mrs. Jones or, you know, The Last Cappuccino before the 101. I do dust off some of my old pieces because people, because they're not like, I don't tell jokes.
Right.
You know, they're stories that are evergreen and timeless. They're about my life. They're about my childhood. So you really could pull them out at any point and say, well, I just remembered that memory, you know?
Yeah.
Recall that memory.
You know, and I call you a stand-up comedian.
That's
okay. I guess you are, but when did you make the transition out of doing material that was stand-up-like into a more storytelling
Right from the
version?
Beginning. Yeah. I mean, really from the start. I never really – I was always offbeat. People were always wondering what I was doing. The audience, other comics, they were always like standing in the back looking at me like they were in a state of shock. And I just kept doing what I wanted to do.
Was that hard? We already talked about the early days of stand-up. But
I mean, it was hard in the sense of like I didn't really want to be around most of those people.
And there was no other avenue for you to get into.
Had I gone to New York instead of L.A., I probably would have done the cabaret circuit, mm-hmm. ended up doing Broadway musicals. But I just didn't feel like going to New York. I thought it was just too far away from my family lived in Arizona at that point. And I just thought, I don't know, California just seemed like an easier. And I think ultimately it was better because there's something about the West, you know. It's just it's more open. It's like less, you know, old ideas. It's stodgy, you know. It's like it's the new world. The West is always like latching onto new ideas.
It's funny because of your success mainly, you know, and not even mainly, but just your
mainly
success.
Many other people have stolen my persona.
Sure, but just the idea of being, I always think of you as being a New Yorker.
Yes.
And you know, you talk a lot about L.A., but it's funny because I think of your time with David Letterman, but also your Broadway stuff. And I just always feel like you are almost like were a born New Yorker.
Everybody has always thought that, and I take that as a high compliment. And I love New York, and I live there now. But there are longings for California, and of course I'm there quite often. But I don't know, there's something – I've done, I think, my best creative thinking in L.A., there's just something about, you know, the nighttime falls and the streets are rolled up. People are going, you know, there's nobody out at night. So you drive around and your mind is just sort of like there's room to think. Although, I mean, I've been creative in New York, too, of course. So,
yeah,
you're creative wherever you are. Either you are or you aren't.
How do you approach creativity for someone who
lives
it?
I don't approach it.
You don't approach it?
No. I mean,
You're not like a writer who has to sit down and do 9 to 5 or anything?
No, it's never been the way I've done it. You know, literally, I will channel ideas, and then I will jot them down, and then I'll elaborate on them.
What I love about your career as well, as you just mentioned earlier in this interview, the idea of running into the women from Broad City, or even the stuff that I saw today with David Letterman, there's a collaborative spirit in the way that being in New York, there just seems to be this idea that community of artists, actors, singers, writers, they help each other out in a way that they are in other projects and they're around each other. And there's a chemistry for a community that you don't find elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Do you feel a part of that community?
On the periphery. There are certain people that I'm very close with, creative people, but they're not usually like in the mainstream. They're, you know, I tend to stay kind of on the outer edges because I like to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, once you're in it and you get to know people, not everybody's as, you know, genuine as you hope they would be. But I know some terrific people, and I've gotten to know some amazing people in the business.
You've had a tremendous career where you've been able to saddle both stage and screen. So you've been able to do things on stage in L.A., like you talked to the actual showbiz industry, mm-hmm. Hollywood, and you've been able to be a mainstay in Broadway and New York and the scene with your one-woman shows. Do you like the fact that you can dip in and be indigenous in either worlds?
Yes, I do. I do. I get very restless. I get bored, and I don't like just doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, I love doing my radio show every day. It's an hour a day, and then I go off and I do other things. But I've always been somebody who longs to do something else constantly, you know, and I like to travel and I like to go places and I love meeting new people and I love jumping back and forth for different venues in my career, and that's something that's always been inspiring for me.
It suits the industry that you chose as a lifestyle. I mean, it's just because the idea that projects don't last forever, and you could have a successful run on Roseanne, and that's 2 years of your life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this idea that people think about, you approach work in a different way. There's a hire, fire, quit mentality that people who might be listening right now can't fathom. I can't fathom.
No, well, I mean, that's why most people shouldn't be into entertainment, you know, and a lot of people now think they can be, but you have to have that, you know, sort of electrified personality and somebody who is, you know, able to just morph from one situation to the next. And you've got to have a major constitution. You have to be very strong. You have to be disciplined. And most people just aren't.
I think of you as a trailblazer. You've done so much where you have brought your voice and your unique style to living rooms across America. People who had not seen your type of comedy elsewhere.
Right.
Do you see that? Do you feel like a trailblazer in showbiz? Do you feel like that you have made an impact in that way to the lives of America?
I mean, I don't think of it in a way of, you know, celebratory.
Yeah,
but yes, of course, I think, you know. And now doing my radio show every day, and I take callers a couple times a week, and a lot of people call in and are, you know, they're very moving, and, you know, it's not something I was ever used to, is having people call and say, oh my God, and you did this, you did that. So that's very nice, and it's nice to hear. And I think that the key is staying involved in life. I mean, like, you know, walking the streets of New York, that's one of the things I love about it, is like, you know, being in the world, you know, going shopping, you know, going to restaurants, you know, coffee shops, hanging out, you know, being a part of the world, because once you sort of pull yourself out of it and you think of yourself as a celebrity, you'll never be able to tap back into the source.
Is that hard? Is that hard to do? I mean, when you start living a life as a celebrity?
I don't really live the life of a celebrity.
Or at least living a life.
I mean, people recognize me and people say hello, and some people do a double take. But I think that I've established myself as somebody who, you know, is accessible. And yet at the same time, people don't feel the need to, like, you know, freak out. You know, I think it's just how you balance your life and how you go through life. And I've chosen to be somebody who, you know, is autonomous and accessible, and at the same time, somebody who, like, knows how to pull themselves out of situations.
Last night, we had Ice Cube on. Ice Cube was in town. He said something about he's attracted to projects where it's almost like startups, where he likes to jump in and try something new that hasn't been done before, and that's something that has pushed and propelled him in his career.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's similar to the aesthetic that we get from you, this idea that you have you continue to do things to push the envelope. Are you attracted to those kind of opportunities, those projects, to do things that are your projects, that are something that hasn't been seen before, even as
I think it's just a matter of platforms and venues to do what I do and to keep expanding and evolving what I do. But he seems like a businessman. That's not really my thing, per se. I can't design a line of, you know, sneakers and then go off and do, like, you know, fire festival in the Bahamas. I mean, it's like those things don't interest me. It's like I just want to do my work and go home. Like, I don't want to, like, have these, you know, these phone conferences and be a part of some sort of mega thing and, like, some new streaming, you know, entity. I'd say all that stuff just...
Produce the movie of your life? Are you going to do that at least?
No, probably not, you know? I mean, I'm trying to do a show based on my early life in L.A. when I was a manicurist and starting to perform. And that's one of the projects I'm working on right now. Hopefully all these other shows that have made it on the air aren't going to ruin it, but I think that my story is so personal that, you know, and because I was doing something else other than just performing, it has a chance. That's a sidebar. But anyway, I just like doing things, you know, just a little bit under the radar, and I don't really like being swept up into, like, big things because they usually don't pan out.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll watch your show. I'm intrigued by your life. I
won't even be on that show. I'll be on it in some other capacity.
Yeah.
Like I'll be my agent or something, but I won't be obviously me. So as soon as it's like ready to roll, I'll be doing an open casting for Sandy. For young Sandy.
Young Sandy. Sandra Bernhardt in studio tonight. Her show, Sandra Monica Boulevard, Coast to Coast, is at the City Winery tomorrow night in the West Loop on Randolph Street. She also hosts the show Sandyland on Sirius XM Daily. Sandra, thanks so much for being my guest.
It's so great
to be
here. And love Chicago. I mean, if I could live anywhere else, it would be Chicago. And maybe I'll live here sometime. Maybe that'll be my next big move.
We'd love to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you.